Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Silent majority back there. You well out there? Yep, that's it. That's good. Good to see you. Why don't you give somebody a squeeze, a hug as you take your seats to say, I'm so glad that you're here. So glad that you're next to me. The place is always warmer with friends, isn't it? Absolutely. And if you don't know people yet, I want to encourage you just to go up and say hello. This is a very friendly crew, what I have noticed. Whenever I'm here, I always see it. It's not just like they're friendly towards me because I'm their guest speaker. It's like I see it happening everywhere. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing because that's what the body of Christ is meant to be, isn't it? An embracing place where strangers become friends and become family. And it's so cool. Thank you to Pastor Jess for inviting me to speak. And Pastor Sam, my husband Shane is in your downtown location because this is the Midtown location. And he's having a blast down there. But thank you so much for being here. Good on you for making the choice. I know there's no skylight here. That's what we need, isn't it? That's all we need now. We just need a little skylight, and then you can almost feel like you're outside in the sunshine, but you've put on sunshine for me. But good choice to spend this moment of your Sunday, because this isn't the whole Sunday, but this is the moment of your Sunday where you come and honor God. When you come and honor the body of Christ, the others that are around about you, I'm so glad that you came. Why don't you just nudge the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you came, and that's why you're there. Yeah. I know I'm one of those speakers. I'm sorry. I won't do it to you after this. But it's good. I think it's good. I love the sound of people interacting. And I said to the girls last night, we had the her night last night. And that's it. It was awesome. I loved it. And it was great to see all the girls out. But I got them all just to say hello to each other for a minute. And I love that sound. It's the sound of the body of Christ. It's the sound of the fellowship. It's the sound of the Spirit of God at work within hearts and lives. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So welcome to church today. You've made definitely a great choice. So we're going to get around the word. And actually, before we do, why don't we thank the worship team? They've disappeared for a minute, but let's just take a moment. They did an incredible job. Don't you love the fact that they don't just let any of us up here? With a microphone or a tambourine or something, you know. Once upon a time, there was organs, and of course, they had to be able to play it, which is wonderful. But I'm so grateful for our team that are here and just make such a beautiful sound that allows us to just worship God and still sound amazing, no matter how we individually are gifted. But it's wonderful. So I'm going to get into the Word of God, but before we do, why don't we pray? Just take that 1 minute. Father God, we just love you and we acknowledge you in this place. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship you here freely, Lord God, as we come into this house. Lord, we can come from wherever we've come today, Lord God, and we can come freely into the house of God. We can lift our hands. We can lift our voices. We can love you and love one another, Lord. We give you thanks for that in this country, Lord God, that at this stage, Lord, that this is what's available to us, and it's such a privilege, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, that as we have gathered, Lord God, you have come. And Lord God, we just pray and we just open our hearts and our minds and our lives to you and say, come, Lord, speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit, make your word alive to us, Lord, that it might work in us, Lord, that it might do its good work in us, Lord, that it might challenge and inspire and encourage and strengthen us, Lord God, that we might leave here, Lord God, ready to take on the day, ready to take on the world, Lord God, and ready to live as you've called us to be. In Jesus' wonderful name, why don't you shout it? Amen. 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 I love the word amen. I know that some days it's politically incorrect. Some places they think it's politically incorrect that you should say amen. I don't know. I just think that that's crazy because I know what it means. You know what it means? It means I agree. That's what it means. It means I agree. So if you hear anything that I'm saying that you're agreeing with or that you want to grab a hold of, just feel free to shout out yes or amen or whatever or preach it, girl, whatever you want. We're a Pentecostal church. We might be in this incredibly stained glass, beautiful building. Who's grateful for this building? God has opened doors for us to be in this building. which is really, really amazing. I don't know if you realize that this is breakthrough, that this is not normal that a Pentecostal church is able to lease an Anglican building, but we are so grateful to God. We're so grateful to those involved that they have allowed us to be here, that we can continue to preach Jesus just as they have preached Jesus all these years, that we're able to continue to preach Jesus to this area and to the city of Toronto. It's an amazing thing. You guys are a part of something incredible. I want to tell you, if God's opening, if God is breaking down those kind of barriers and opening doors, then He has great plans. So get ready. Get ready to this place to be filled to overflowing. Get ready for your third service. Get ready because you're going to reach and you're going to touch lives and touch people around about us. So today I want to talk to you about some, my message has stemmed from some words that I heard back in February of this year. We have at our church every year, we have the Enjoy Summit. Enjoy Church is our name, and it's our summit conference. And so every year it's our annual church conference. I think we ripped Pastor Phil Pringle's quote about the family camp without the camp. So it is the family camp without the camp, where all of our church from all of our locations come together. It's an amazing time. And we always invite a couple of friends in ministry to come and be on our platform and to bring words. And this year we had a friend of ours, Pastor Paul Chase from Life Church in the Philippines. He has been, he's an American. He's lived there for over 30 years with his wife and done literally hundreds of locations throughout the Philippines and throughout Southeast Asia, doing an incredible work. And when he was on our platform, he spoke these words, and they really impacted me, I think, because they encapsulated pretty much what I've been really sensing in God since the beginning of the year. And these are the words that he said. He said, "What if the most important thing was not what you do, but who you become? What if it was simply to be like Jesus?" Simply to be like Jesus. And I think to myself, I remember when I was, I'm an 80s girl, not 80s born. That's probably half of you back there. But I'm a 60s born, and I'm an 80s saved girl. And I remember, you know, Taylor's just bringing back in all those friendship bracelets. You know, those little, yeah, they're cool, they're fun. And but I remember, see, church was the beginning. We were the originals of the friendship bracelets. And we had the WWJD friendship bracelets. And if you were around in the days, you know that what that stood for was, what would Jesus do? So the idea was that you have one of these on your wrist, and it's in your work or in your school or wherever you were, that whatever you were doing, when you encountered situations, that it would catch your eye and remind you, what would Jesus do in this situation? But I want to say to you, what would it be if we changed our focus just from what would Jesus do? Because we know that we do need to do, yeah? We can't just be, otherwise you become a mushroom underneath the shade of something and just not doing anything. But what if we change the focus and the emphasis from what would Jesus do to how would Jesus be? How would Jesus be in this situation? How would He respond to this? What would His words, what would His heart be? How would Jesus be? And then from that place, allow all our choices, all of our decisions, all of our words and attitudes flow from there. Rather than just focusing on the gifts, rather than just focusing on the talents that God's given to us, what if we set our focus instead on building the nature and character of Christ within ourselves and developing the fruit of the Spirit? Because we know we've been given gifts of the Spirit, and they're wonderful, and we want to use them. We need to use them. They're there to build the body of Christ, yes? But God here, what about here if we decided to focus on the nature of Christ and developing the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23 tells us this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, when you listen to them first up, I get it. They kind of have this, oh, this soft sounding, sweet sounding. Like, you know what? If you really want to impact the world, they're wonderful. But if you really want to impact the world, you've got to be power miracles and power of God and the the sick healed and the dead raised. And we want all that. Okay, don't get me wrong. We want all that. But sometimes we can look at these things and think they're kind of like the cute little background things. They're just in the background. The things that really need to be up the front are all the powerful miracles of God. But I want to tell you, in reality, these are actually the powerful attributes of for us to have. You know, the closing words in that statement make it very clear. There is no law against these things. There's no law. Actually, how the King James, against these things, there is no law. It just sounds so much more definitive. But, you know, here we're reminded of the real worth and the real strength of the fruit that is produced in us when we submit our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit. When we submit our lives to His guidance and His direction and His correction, we need to remember that. Sometimes we want His guidance, His direction, and His yes and amen, but we don't necessarily want His, like, no. We don't want Him to tell us off for doing something. We don't want to feel that prick in our conscience where we've done the wrong thing. But when we allow and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit in all of His ways, then this is what comes forth, and there is great value in it. Now, it doesn't mean we won't have opposition when we live this way. Sometimes, again, we think it's only the power things that will bring opposition because they bring spotlight. But we'll have opposition when we seek to live this way because it's countercultural. Anyone notice that joy and gentleness is not being celebrated out in the world? I have a voice and you need to hear it, and then you need to agree with it is what's being celebrated out in the world. Violence is being celebrated out in the world. Aggravated attitudes and keyboard warriors are being celebrated out in the world. But not these things. It's countercultural. But what it does mean, even if we will walk in this way and if we will allow God to do this within us, if we open ourselves up to hit the fullness of His direction and teaching as the Spirit, what it does mean is that the enemy will have no legal foothold before God on your life. He will have, there is no law, and which means no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Like, that is a pretty good thing to have in your back pocket, isn't it? You know, like the hall pass at school and you're caught out of the classroom and you go, then somebody comes up to tell you off and you're like, I've got a hall pass. I'm allowed. You know what? When the enemy comes and he tries to pin you down and he tries to condemn you, you've got, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know what? Against these things, there's no law. You have no right. And it also means that God Himself would defend you. I love that thought. That's what David had when he faced Goliath, wasn't it? He went, you're not coming against me. You're coming against my dad. You're coming against the God of all the creation. You're not just coming against me. So it gave him the boldness that he wanted, that he needed in that moment. And God will stand with you in the midst of your trials. He will stand with you in the midst of it when you're in a trial, whether it be external or internal. Anyone notice that half our enemies are on the inside of us? It was interesting, like when we listened to Keela and she was talking about she'd heard that voice so many times and things said to her, they end up becoming her internal voice. And half the time what we fight is not just on the outside, but now it's on the inside. And our feelings rage and our thoughts try and tell us why we can't be who God called us to be. We can't live that way. Others trying to convince us to live differently to the ways of God. But God is wanting to form these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in this time. Because, you know, think about it with Jesus. It may have been the gifts of the Spirit that put Jesus on the map, but it was the fruit of the Spirit that kept Jesus on track. Yeah? It's the fruit of the Spirit that kept him on track. It wasn't, for the strength of Jesus was not in his miracles, it was actually in his character. It was actually in who he was. You know, in truth, he could have still become the savior of the world and everybody in it had he never done a single miracle. He could have still been, but he could never have been our savior had he not lived an upright life aligned to the Spirit of God with the fruit of God, of the Spirit in his life. before he ever turned water into wine, before he healed a single blind man, before he healed a paralytic or a bleeding woman, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he spent his lifetime allowing the Holy Spirit to teach him, to discipline him, and to guide him. He allowed that for 30 years. Like, take him out of the Bible pages right now, or off the movie screen or TV screen, The Chosen or whatever. Yeah, take him off those and bring him into real life like you and I. He lived till he was about 30 before he started his public ministry, which is actually only really brief. So if we hinge all of our lives on public, wherever it happens, I want to tell you, it's never going to be. It's always the tip of the whole iceberg. And the Holy Spirit wants to work on the iceberg under the water. But here he is. He's a 30-year-old man. To get to this place, he has been a teenager. Do I need to say any more? He's been a teenager. He's been a young man trying to find his way. Like, the reality is there's a lot of silence about Joseph. We know that Joseph was there at the beginning. We do not know whether he was there at the end. There's no reference to him in the Bible. So we don't know. Maybe he was a young man trying to find his way, maybe without his dad. Maybe something happened to him. We don't know the situation. But all we know, he was a young man trying to find his way through life. He was waiting. And in that moment, he had a choice as to whether or not he was going to allow God to do what God wanted to do in him. So for 30 years, he submitted his life, his heart, his words, his attitudes to the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, to the written word of God, the Bible, and to obedience to those in authority over him. What does the word say? It says by three shall something be finalized. That's not the right word. I can't think of the right word. But it will be. Anyone else? But you know what I mean? It'll be proven. It'll be proven. And so these are the things that God used to form the character of God within him. Think about these words. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. This is the essence of the words found in John 5, verse 19, and John 12, verse 49 and 50, where it makes it clear he is not just walking around doing his own thing. He's not just walking around doing whatever he wants, but he is a son under the command of his Father, and he is a man on a mission. Think about the self-disciplines, the patience, the humility that were involved in him doing this, only doing what he saw the Father doing and only saying what he heard the Father saying. As I said, he had to go through youth, teenage years, he being a young man. And then on top of that, he was also God. Okay, so I don't think he was short of an opinion. I don't know, just me. Anyone found a teenager short of an opinion? And then, as I said, on top of that, he knows he's God. He knows he is the Son of God. And yet he humbled himself daily to the leadership of his Father and to the disciplines of the Holy Spirit, the same disciplines that we all need to effectively give true expression to God. He understood that the only thing that really counted was to reveal God to a dying world, lost and dying world, by being like him. See, because you can say a lot of things, but if you don't live it, eventually it'll come out. That's what we've seen happening all over the place, haven't we? But that's what happens in daily life. People hear you say something and then they see you do something different to that. But I thought you said you believed. Even with the offering message, it was about you saying things, but you're not really meaning them. You're not really living them. And here's Jesus having to do this. And we need to do the same thing if we want to give true expression to God. That's why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Like, what a statement. How many do you reckon, you don't need to put your hand up. My hand's not even really going up. But put your hand up if you feel that you could confidently say, if you've seen me, you've seen God, about yourself. Not me. I already know you can't do that. Part of me. There's a percentage of me. But are we aware of that? Are we thinking about it? And are we looking for ways and saying, God, today let the percentage just increase, even if it's just a little bit. Lord, let the Holy Spirit be at work in me. Let the Father be just that bit more visible in me today than he was yesterday, than he was last week. We want the Holy Spirit to cause the Father to be seen in us. And for Jesus, it took character. It took love and joy and peace and patience. It took kindness. It took faithfulness when he was tempted. It took gentleness and self-control. All these things and so much more. In John 8, verse 12, we're told that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He was the light of the world. And now here we are in 2024. Thousands of years later, a very, very different world in so many ways. And the one who is the light of the world is passing on to us the same mission he's passed on to every disciple since the day that he said that. That we would be the light of the world, that we would shine our light and reveal the Father to the world around about us. What does it say in Matthew 5, verse 15 and 16? It says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you've ever wondered what your purpose is, right there you've got it. Shine your light. Let people see that, and through that, let it be glorifying to God. May they see God in you and me. It's all about revealing God and glorifying him. It's all about us doing good deeds that glorify our Father in heaven. And where do those deeds flow from? They don't flow just by themselves. They flow out of our being. Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. You know, a bad tree can have great gifts. Christmas trees. Yeah, once upon a time, Christmas trees were always beautiful, lush, green, bushy, amazing, fragrant, incredible. These days, we're so trendy. We just get a dirty little stick from the street, stick it in some plasticine or Play-Doh, put a couple of little decorations, and that's my Christmas tree for my desk. You know what? And it can become a Christmas tree because if you put the right decorations on it, it can still become a Christmas tree. But I can tell you that dirty little stick, no matter how many decorations you put on it, will never produce good fruit. It won't produce good fruit. So we need to understand that it's our heart. We need to focus on our heart. We need to focus on the quality of our tree, which is us and our heart. And then the fruit will look after itself. You don't need to go there and tell a tree to produce fruit. If it's a fruit tree, it will produce fruit. That's just what happens. It will reveal God, and we will reveal God and glorify him if we will just look after the tree. For even though God wants us to be his hands and his feet, the hands and feet of Jesus, you hear that all the time, you know what I mean? Like, we just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's so true, we do. But God doesn't live in your hands. He lives in your heart. So if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus and it's actually going to be his hands and feet, then we need to understand it all begins in our heart, which is why Proverbs 4:23, you probably all know it. Above all else, above all else, above all else, above everything else, guard your heart from everything, every single thing, thought, action, word, flow from it. They flow out of your heart. And it will, if we allow the Spirit of God to lead us daily and bear his fruit in our lives, then it will flow out as from God. So this is how the character of Jesus was actually formed and forged into the image of God. Now you might think, oh, but he's the Son of God. He's God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know this. He is God. So therefore, of course he would have the nature and the character. No, it was formed and forged. It said that he went through trials and sorrows that formed who he was. And he had to be forged in the fire of these situations. His deeds were fruitful only because they flowed out of his being from the character and nature of God within him, formed by the Holy Spirit. So as we step into this next season, as we step into it, and I want to encourage you, this is a new season. It's not just a new season in the natural. Interesting that even in Australia, the change of season this year, for this season, has gone like this. And I hear that it's the same here. I mean, like I've had cloud, rain, and snow, and sunshine, all within a period of about 4 days. I feel very at home. I'm like, I'm a Melbournian. Our weather is like chop and change. People often joke, you know, like three seasons in a day or whatever. And it is like that. But I got to say, this year, normally us, our fall time, what we call autumn, you call fall, you're going into spring, we're going into autumn. And normally that is just like my favorite season of the year in Melbourne because it's just like beautiful. It's like you're coming out of summer. So it's cooling down. The air's getting that crispness to it. But the sun shines out. There's no wind. It's just usually still and gorgeous and stunning. This year, windy, rainy, change, chop, chop, change. And it's never been like this before. I wonder if it's not even reflective. You're coming into a new stage, a new season, and something's different about it this time. God is doing something different. But I want to encourage you, as you step out your life in this next season, let us not grow weary in doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 13 tells us that, to not grow weary in doing good. And may I encourage you not to grow weary in being good. In being good. You know, I know what it's like to grow weary. I know what it's like to be weary in the waiting. I know what it's like when you're to be waiting and weary of it when you're believing for something, for the promise, for the peace in the storm, for the fight to be over. You know, if you were at All In on Wednesday night, you would have heard that my husband, as I said, who's like this international fun monkey, like every cafe we go into, he knows the people because every time he goes in, he engages with the waitresses, with the boss, with the whoever. He's just like that wherever he goes. And he loves having fun and he's got a great sense of humor and all of those things, but he just loves people. He really loves people. But in this, the beginning of last year, my husband, the international fun monkey, got diagnosed with severe depression. Now, that's just an oxymoron right there. We're just going, how did this ever happen? How is it possible? And with Shane going through that last year, like we've come through most of it now, which is fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one. He's the one to give glory for that. But I got to tell you, it tested me beyond the bounds. I've never encountered anything like this. I am not the drama girl. Who here likes Married at First Sight or Kim Kardashian? I have a younger daughter who loves watching that. She doesn't like drama in her life, but she loves to watch it on the screen. I'm not even the watch it on the screen girl. I'm just like, just stay away. It just makes me crazy watching all that stuff. I am not that. I am like the peace girl. I am like peace. And in our marriage, we've always had an awesome relationship. We've just got along from the beginning all the way through. But I tell you, this last year tested me beyond my bounds. Shane was not Shane. They talk about depression having a language. My goodness, you do not want to hear that language. But it has a language, and he was not himself. And it tested me beyond my bounds, or so I thought. I say so I thought because in lining up with the prophet Elton John, I'm still standing, yeah. But honestly, I really did not think that I could ever cope. And there were so many times when I'm like at the end of myself, in tears in my room, in tears with Shane, in tears somewhere, like crying out to God. And you may not be able to see it now, but I want to tell you, it was as real, and I did not know how to deal with it. I was in tears going, God, help me. You've got to help me. I can't do this. Because like I thought, it's the only way to deal with this. Is this the only way is to go? And I know it was not to go. But my goodness, I was at the end of myself. So I've got to tell you, I grew weary in the fight. I grew weary in the battle. I grew weary waiting for the promises. I grew weary waiting for God to answer my prayers. I grew weary with it all. But I got to say, leaning, as we heard already, you can either lean into God or you can lean away from God. That one thing I knew to do was not to lean away from God. So if there's nothing else in you that you leave from here, leave with this one thought and you're anchored in your heart. Do not lean away from God. God is from where your help comes from. He is your source. He is your strength. He is your solution. He is the one who will bring you through, who's already made the way. And I've got to tell you, I was at the point where I was like, I can't cope with this, God. You've got to bring breakthrough in this. And he did. He did in his time. Who knows that his time and our time is not always the same. If it had been my timing, it would have been like a couple of weeks in, max. Maybe probably even a couple of days in. I don't know. It's like, that would have been me. That would have been it. It didn't happen. God did not bring the breakthrough the first time I asked, nor the second, nor the third, nor the 53rd, nor the 365th. He did not bring the breakthrough when I asked. And you might say, when you're in this place and in these seasons, and you might go, God, you haven't answered my prayer. I want to tell you that God is actually up to something. He's got a bigger understanding of who you are than you could ever imagine. And he is at work within you. God was working in my character. And if he'd taken me out right at the beginning, he would never have forged what he's forged within me. He would never have done it. He was working on producing fruit in my life, fruit of the Spirit, my patience, my goodness, my faith. He had a greater and more powerful purpose. He was growing me. Who knows that trees often need manure? Yeah. And there's a reason why God calls himself the gardener, not Santa Claus. Because we don't just put our list in and then wake up on the morning, our appointed morning, and there's the presents under the tree. There's the bike we wanted. There's the this, there's that. No, God is not that. He is a gardener. He is tending the garden. He is putting on it what needs to be putting on it. He's cutting off what needs to be cut off. And his purpose is always for your growth and my growth. Always. He, at the right time, he did. He answered me. You know, sometimes I think about the people in the Bible, and it's important that we humanize them. Yeah? That they're not just a story we've learned in Sunday school, but they're real people living in their time like we're living in ours. And we look at the people who went before us through trials, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 3. You know, they were in this place, and the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the time of the Persians, he decided he built himself a 90-foot statue. What's the guess that it's probably of him? I don't really know, but I'm guessing it's probably a statue of moi. 90-foot gold statue, and the ruling of the land, the statute of the land was that the moment anyone played any of these musical instruments, anyone had to drop what they were doing, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue. What does the first commandment of the Ten Commandments say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love no other God before me. No other God before me. So here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're Torontonians, and they're like, what do we do now? What do we do now? Our government is telling us to do this. What do we do now? But they decided, they held their ground. They said, we're not leaning away from God. He's not the fault. We're going to lean into God. We're going to continue to love him. We're going to continue to serve him. And therefore, we can't do this. So the king threatens to throw all three of them into the blazing furnace and burnt to a crisp. Dead. Goodbye. But still, they refused to worship any God but their God. You know, I wonder when they thought God would or should have saved them. My bet, my personal opinion, were I in that situation, would be before the flames. It would be my preference. Lord, if you can do it any time, please before the flames. That would be really, really good. But God had a bigger plan. And it's like, but God, this is like 11 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds. And he's like, actually, it's probably 12:01, yeah? It's not 11:59, it's 12:01. God had bigger plans, actually more loving plans for them. And we're just like, no, that love of God, if he loved us, he would have set me free. He would have done it before I got hauled before the king. Or in the presence of the king, I would have stood there and God would have given him a revelation or done something and he would have had a change of heart and released us and we would go dancing all the way home. God, praise God. You're amazing. To our C3 worship, we would have been listening to the music and praising God all the way. But it didn't happen that way. They got thrown into the fire. In fact, the soldiers that threw them into the fire died, got burnt to death themselves because it was so hot. And here they are, they're in this place. But God had more loving plans because he wanted to grow them and his fruit in their life. What do you think? Maybe faith could possibly have been one of them. He wanted those three men as well as the whole world because the king saw it, which meant he directed the entire nation to see that even in the midst of trial of fire, and at the end of what we would consider God's opportunity, window of opportunity to save, even after that, when there's no longer any chance to be saved, God can keep and save those who trust in him. He wanted those three men, as well as the king, to see that when they put their faith in him, that they can come through any storm or any fire, because our God is faithful. See, if he'd saved them beforehand, they would have known that God can save them out of the trial. But through this, they knew that no trial had any power over them when they trusted in God, because God is faithful. And it's only in the waiting that this kind of strength of character is forged in us. It's only through the trials that our hope in God is converted from hope in God to confident assurance in him. See, in trials, it's our flesh and all that's not of him that is consumed until all that's left is gold. All that's left is faith, hope, and love. All that's left is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's why the disciples wrote these words in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And again in Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You know, as a new Christian, I remember I could never understand how anybody could write these words. Like, I'm a new Christian. I'm like, God is good. He's wonderful. He's amazing. He answers your prayers too right at the beginning, like so fast, to let you know that he sees you and that he hears you. But I was like, how could they write these words to be thankful for trials and hardships? But you know what? Time and life is a revealer of many, many things. So if you're older in this congregation, I want to tell you, I'm sure you've got some experience under your belt, but you're blessed because to start with, you have not, you're alive. Hello. People in a world that's desperately trying to stay young, we need to understand that there is blessing in getting old. We don't have to act old. We don't have to act staid in our thinking. We don't have to act be like that. We can be young of heart, but if you're getting old, that's okay, because what happens is it means that you've traveled through some life, you've had some experiences, you've had some journeys with God, and in that place there is a revealing that happens that can't happen the moment you start when you're young. It just doesn't happen when you're young. And as you go along, you realize that comfort is not king, and in fact comfort is not even a friend. Comfort doesn't develop strength or endurance or patience or even kindness. In fact, it will fight against them all. It'll actually fight against them. You know, if I go to the gym and I only do what's comfortable, I'll have wasted my money. Pay for a gym membership, go to the gym, only do what I'm comfortable. You know, I'll never get fitter and I'll never get stronger. The problem with that is that you can't help others with strength that you don't have yourself. If we just do what's comfortable. So everyone remains in their limitations, everyone remains in their bondage, and God is not glorified. He's not even revealed in those places. It's like the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. You know, when the Samaritan sees the injured man, it says it gets down off his donkey and he gets down alongside of him. And then it says he pulls out of his pack wine and oil and bandages to help the man. Wine to clean the wound, oil to soothe the wound, and bandages to bandage it up. And to be able to put him back on his own donkey and take him to the inn. If he didn't have those things, he could have had every great intention. But if he didn't have them in his own life, if he didn't have them in his own pack, he can't help that man. He can only stand there and go, "I'm really sorry, mate." That's Australians. "I'm really sorry, buddy." But he won't be able to help him. We need to build the supplies in our own life. We need to build the strength and the fitness into our own life. We need to be those people so that when the need arises, we can pull kindness out of our life. We can pull self-control out of our own life. We can do this out of our life and offer it to those who are in need. And I want to encourage you, church, this is the time. Now is the time more than ever. Our world is getting wild. Our world is getting a little cray-cray. It's like going a little nutso out there where it feels like even logic doesn't stand up against agendas and against all kinds of whims and emotions and feelings and rage. We need to build these things into our life. You can't take people to a sanctuary if there's no sanctuary. You can't tell them about what God has done in your life if you haven't let Him do it in your life. We are those people, and God is saying now is the time to build these things. Now is the time to ask the Holy Spirit to be at work within us, to train us, train our hands for war and our fingers for battle. We need to be those who allow Him to develop the fruit of the Spirit in us. And maybe next time discomfort comes to you, maybe the next time pressure is put on you or the stretch is required of you, maybe it would be good to take a moment and look twice and see if the Holy Spirit isn't in this. Even in the midst of the trial, if He isn't there trying to help you, trying to produce Christ in you, His nature and His character. Church, let's not grow weary in doing good. Let's not grow weary in being good. We want to live right before God in a way that honors the grace and the kindness that He's shown to us. We need to be beacons of that for others. And I pray that as we are aware of this, that we're not those who make His life hard, make the Holy Spirit's work hard in us. What did David say? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know what that takes? It takes a 180 degree turn. It means I was going this. There's a wicked way in there. Lord God, now point it out to me. Show me so that I can be aware of it. And now, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me. Help me, Lord God, to be willing to turn when you say turn. To change when you say change. To hold my tongue when you say hold my tongue. To show kindness when everything in me rages. And I thought, God, I'm not. No, Lord, I am not just the flesh. I am the Spirit. I am a spirit person, Lord God, according to your Spirit. May it be done. Help me, Lord. You know, if you're in this place, God is speaking to us about this, about becoming more like Jesus and allowing Him to do in us and shape us and form us the way He wants to, the way He always intended to. But are we going to be those who are willing? I want to pray for you today. If you're in this place and you're saying, "Yes, God, search me. Search my heart. Help me, Lord, to live like you lived. Help me, Lord, to be able to say, today I'm going to increase the percentage of God being visible in my life. That, Father, that you will be seen in and through me. I want to pray for you today. But before I do that, I also want to pray for you. If you're in this place, maybe you've come in today and you don't actually have that relationship with God. You've never given your life to Jesus. Then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Maybe you're like me and you go, like, I was 20 years old. I came to church because my sister invited me. And she'd gone to church because her boss had invited her. So never stop asking people. Never stop living for Jesus. The funny thing was when my sister got invited by her boss, it was because she went into him one day, into his office one day and went, John, what is it that's different about you? I wonder if it was the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit. What is it that's different about you? And he said, Kerry, I've been praying that you'd ask me that question. It's Jesus. And that was the beginning of her road to salvation. And then through her, she invited me to church. But maybe you're in this place today and you've just come to church. Someone's invited you, or I've just walked in and decided I want to go to church today. Maybe you've never grown up in a church. You don't know much about it. That's okay. I get it. Or maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe at some point you've made a decision for Jesus, but you know that there was a point that somewhere there's been a point in time where the voices of the world, the other voices have become louder than the voice of God, and you're saying, I want to come home. It's time for me to come home to you, Lord. I want to live for you, Jesus. Then this is your moment. This is your opportunity. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you, because that's as simple as it is. That's as hard as it is. God takes the most infinite miracle that we could come and be one with God and know and come into relationship with him, and makes it as simple as Romans 10 tells us this. It says, if you believe in your heart that he died on the cross, was resurrected, that you believe in your heart and you declare with your mouth, or you confess with your mouth, it says that you shall be saved. It's just that simple. So if that is you, I would love the opportunity to pray with you and to lead you in that prayer that even as you say, today, God, I want to invite Jesus into my heart. As you do that and you declare it with your mouth, you know what? In that instant, your life will be transformed forever. It will be exchanged with Jesus. You will be set free. You will come into relationship with God. But if you're in this place, it's going to be just as simple as that to pray a prayer. But so I know who I'm praying with, what I'm going to do in just a minute, I'm going to ask us to close our eyes just for a moment of privacy. And then if that is you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Just lift it straight up. I'll point to you. I'll say thank you. God bless you. And you can put your hand back down. And then I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. So right now, if everyone could close your eyes just again for that moment of privacy. If you're in this place and you're saying, yeah, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't want to walk on my own anymore. I want God with me. I want a new start. I want God to give me his life, his fresh life that's found in Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand straight up. I'll see it. And I'll point to you and I'll say, thank you. God bless you. And you can put your hand. Thank you, my sweetheart. That's a great choice. Thank you, sir. That's an incredible choice. Is there anybody else in this place and you're saying, yeah, that's me. That's me. You can put your hand back down. That's awesome. Is there anybody else in this place and you're saying, yeah, that's me? Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and I'm just going to lead you. There's nothing magical or special about my words, except that hopefully it'll help give expression to your heart. As I pray, church, why don't we all pray out loud together? Yeah, because we're going to support our brothers and sisters in this time as they make this decision. But if that's you and this is your decision, pray this from all your heart, and church, we're going to pray together. Dear God, I thank you for bringing me here, that I might know how much you love me. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins. Today, God, I ask that you forgive me of my sins and give me a fresh start today. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior, my King and my friend. And help me, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing and honoring of you. I give you my all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Come on. For our brother and sister that gave their lives to Jesus, the best decision you could ever make. I want to tell you, I have been so grateful to God over and over. Does it mean your life's perfect? No, but what it does mean is that God is with you in every season and He will bring you through amazingly, amazingly. But right now, I want to pray for you. Why don't we stand up? Just shake off the seat. Stand up before God. Maybe you're in this place and you're saying, yeah, that's me. I want to give my, I want to ask God to come in and do a greater work of His Spirit in me, in my life. I don't know about you, but I know I need it every day. I need to give my life. I need to ask Him. In fact, I actually like it when I pray with those who give their life to Jesus because I'm praying it from my heart. But today we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to be at work in us, that He would form the fruit of the Spirit. But so why don't you just lift your hands to God? Lift your hands to God. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for every person in this place, Lord God, as they've heard Your word, as they've received Your word. Lord, we know that it is the greatest act of love that You could ever do, Lord God, that You would speak to us, Lord God, and bring direction and bring correction, Lord God. So, Lord, we just ask that You would come, Holy Spirit, Lord, and search our hearts, oh God. Help us, Lord God, to know if there's things that need to change, Lord God. As David said, see if there be any wicked way, Lord God, in us that we can change, Lord God. We pray and we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would help us to be those who would be courageous in this, that we would lean into You and allow You to do the work within us, Lord, to form the character and the nature of Christ within us. Lord, we love You. We bless You. But we don't just want to love You and bless You, Lord God. We want to shine our light, Lord God. We want to glorify You. We want others to know who You are. So I pray, Lord God, for us that You would help us to be a true representation, Lord God. May every day, Lord God, that percentage of You increase within us, Lord God, and that we might decrease, that You might increase. Lord, we give You praise and we thank You that You never give up on us. You never stop working with us, Lord God. But Your love is so great. Father, from glory to greater glory, Lord God, and from strength to greater strength is where You take us. Lord, we love You and we bless You now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless You, church.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.